I'm Halcyon, and this is Hug Nation. It's the first time I've been officially broadcasting since my journey from California to Oregon to Washington to Nevada to the eclipse to Burning Man to heaven through hell through triumphs and failures. I feel like I am a different person. I have so much to share. I'm going to take my time. I want to start by sharing a little incident that seems very metaphoric for where I'm at in my life right now, in this moment. Midweek at Burning Man, after days and days of post 100 degree temperatures, like as hot as I've ever seen it, those most extreme heat I've ever felt there, we got hit by the most intense dust storms I've ever seen. And you could see it roll in like out of an apocalyptic movie, this wall of brown. But something unbelievable, amazing happened as it surrounded us at Pinkheart, but did not hit us. We were sitting on our pink couches looking out at this craziness all around us, but did not really even need goggles. 200 feet away, you needed serious goggles, full protection, and still you would, like, it was like a foot of visibility. But we were in this pocket, what my campmate's house, Enrico, called a bubble of awesome. And it was almost like a sign. It was almost like this pat on the back, this wink from the divine saying, all right, keep it up. Do what you're doing. I'm going to spare you. Now, we did get knocked around and we got our blows and we had to put on our goggles for brief moments. But compared to what the rest of the city was experiencing, it was like we were cradled and protected, caressed in our bubble of awesome. So we dealt with the struggles when they came, but mostly we just sat and were present with these people that we were building relationships with. We were enjoying the memories of their being made. Dealing with hardships when they come, but savoring the magic as it was happening. And I feel like right now, I'm still in a bubble of awesome. And that, yes, I know that there is extreme hardship and suffering all around the world. Natural disasters, corruption. And I will deal with those things when they come. But I will, in this moment, give myself permission to savor the magic, to savor the relationships, to savor the memories of the people and the art and the expression and the transformation that I just witnessed. I'm so inspired and blown away by the potential of human beings. And so while, yes, if I look not that far, I can have tons of examples of the darkness of human beings, of the pain in the world. But right now, I'm giving myself permission to savor the ice cream cone. And I'm gonna give you permission too. Even if you're huddled in a basement somewhere, even if you know close ones that are hurting, even if you have loss in your very recent past, grieve as much as you need. Feel what you want to feel, be, but also allow yourself, if it hits you, to feel the magic, to remember the miracles. So my recent weeks of travel have been filled with miracles. I started off this journey by going to the Eclipse Festival in Oregon. Now, there's two aspects to this. There's the festival and the eclipse itself. I'm going to focus on the eclipse itself. So, and when I say the eclipse itself, I'm talking about the totality. I talked to a number of people who said, oh yeah, where I was, I saw 85%. I'm like, that's like saying you got 3/4 of the way through the line before you got into the museum. Or I got to the front of the line before I got into the club. You didn't see it. You did not experience it. I don't mean to come across as rude, but the eclipse totality was something way more than I thought it was. As it went from so bright that it looked like the regular sun, unless you had special glasses on, which you may have witnessed wherever you were, but once the totality hit, glasses off, it's nighttime with 360-degree sunrise or sunset or something magical. 360-degree eclipse color. But night straight above, stars straight above. And this eye of God, this black with wisps of light around it that you could just stare into. And I was overwhelmed with these waves of tears that just came through me. And I thought, you know, I'm a pretty sensitive person, so it's not out of the ordinary for me to cry at a significant event or emotional commercial. But these were like this uncontrollable waves, and then they would be gone. And then, and all around me, as there were thousands of people right around me, there were hundreds of people crying uncontrollably. Like something was affecting us. Like we were waves being pulled by the tide, reptiles being affected by the moon. Something was acting upon us that was beyond our minds. It was something I'd never experienced before. And I had an experience that was not what I expected either. I thought I would kind of have this thoughts and feelings and epiphanies, but for the most part, once the totality hit, I had no thoughts. It was like my ego and my mind just left. And I was simply a witness. I was simply a piece of this massive cosmic event. But I had this feeling that came over me, which was very similar to what I get when I get near the ocean. I often seek out the ocean because it is such an anchor for me. The vastness of it helps me to remember my smallness. And seeing the waves cycling, hitting the shore, as they have done long before I was alive, and they will do long after I'm dead, helps me to feel a release from the anxieties and the stresses and the problems that feel so important to little old me. And the eclipse gave me that sensation times millions. Being present to this moment of alignment of sun, planet, me, cosmos. It was this awareness of the single breath of this massive, infinite, practically timeline. And in this one moment, I could feel the vastness of it. I could feel my smallness. I could feel my insignificance. And it was a relief. Oh, I had so much stress leading up to the eclipse. I so didn't want to go. I tried to get out of it. And even on the road there, I kept getting reports of these crazy 20-hour lines to get into the event. And I actually stopped at Walmart, which me shopping at Walmart means I was seriously in a panic mode to buy extra gas cans. I bought two more, bought extra water, all these things, because I was so scared of all the things that were going to go wrong and had been going wrong for everyone else, and all the lines and running out of gas. And I ended up going to the event on Friday, even though I talked to people who had 20 hours in line, my wait was 20 minutes. And as I approached the gate, I'd already long since given up on my plan of meeting up with friends who had said they were going to save a space, but they were there like 4 days earlier. And there was all these reports of how it was chaos and you can't save spaces. And so I was like, no worries. I'm just going to get in there. And as I'm driving up in our 20-minute wait, Tim drives up on his bike yells out, "Hey, Halcyon, we've got a space saved for you," gave me directions right on how to drive there and find him so easily. And here, all of these things I had stressed about over and over and over, I had worried about them. I had been suffering so much on this drive, so much on the weeks leading up, so much that I wanted to not go. And as we pull up, all of these things that I had suffered about did not exist. Unnecessary suffering, no issues. Almost like as my friend Tim was laying out this path of no resistance for me, it was like a voice of God saying, "Dude, have I not told you that I got your back?" And so over and over, from the journey there, through the eclipse, through Burning Man, have been these reminders of surrender. You're on track. You're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. You're arriving where you're supposed to arrive. The people you meet are supposed to be there. Everything is aligning, and that let go of these anxieties. The waves will crash. The people will arrive. The resources will come. The abundance is already here. All of it. And it was like over and over, I kept getting this feeling of like, yes, you're on track. The directions for life that I have been following, be present, have integrity, align with love, they're working. So simple and so effective. So there was this perfect timing of how everything laid out for me and how everything happened. I went from this eclipse and having this experience of like, I'm so insignificant, nothing I do matters. And then to go to Burning Man, which is this environment where we create an arbitrary line in the sand and bring all sorts of meaning to the emptiness there. So going from this feeling of like, nothing matters that you do. Okay, that being said, now, do stuff that matters. Kind of like how I've often thought about life, this adventure, this game that we take on as human beings is a game. And if you really pull back, it doesn't matter. Just like if you're playing a soccer game, it doesn't really matter. But what makes it fun is making it matter, caring. You put on your jersey, you try to win, you find teammates that you can trust, you try hard, you sweat, you slide tackle. If you let a goal by, it hurts, you feel the suffering, you feel the loss. When you get a goal, you feel the triumph. You have fun because you get into it. You make it matter. But if you ever get to a point where you care too much, where you're feeling sick from stress, or you start to hate your opponent because they're on the other team in some arbitrary conflict that you've decided to care about, then you got to pull back and go, whoa, 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 whoa. It's just a game. And this contrast of the eclipse nothingness and Burning Man creating, making meaning was this perfect illustration and reminder of what life is all about. Doesn't really matter. Totally matters. And so be present, have integrity, align with love, and then allow yourself to be a tool of the universe. Allow yourself to surrender to the flow. Allow yourself to be you. To radically self-express. To be authentic. To let out the heart song. To let out the expression, the love. And trust that that will lead where you're going to be of service of the world. That will be what the world needs. You being you is the medicine that the world needs. That can look an infinite number of ways, or maybe 6-7 billion numbers of ways. It can mean that you create something big and large and grand and you dig 1,000 wells. It can mean that you are a good listener to small children. It can mean you play a tiny role in something massive, a big role in something small. It just means that you're authentic. It is tempting to start to feel like being of service means changing the world, doing grand things. But that's not healthy. That's not how it works. And Burning Man is another incredible example of that. There is massive, grand, big, undeniable things of the majesty of it. Projects that require hundreds, thousands of people, craftsmen in metal and glass and computer work and performance, all integrating music composition that all works together and each person plays their perfect role in the creation of it. And then there's teeny tiny things, momentary expressions of authentic truth where someone rescues a jug out of a porta potty, or someone asks someone who may not look their best if they need some water. All of these expressions is what makes it magic. We are not to judge the significance. We are simply to be in alignment with our truth. And over and over and over, I got those reminders. And what I also got these reminders of is that when you do that, when you act in alignment, when you act in your highest, truest self, and simply allow that to be, you can let go of the need to make impact in the world. Because when you act in integrity and strength and you dial into this power that is bigger than you, a tiny act can create massive ripples. And over, I saw these examples of teeny tiny things that I'd done, some that I didn't even remember, touching someone and then creating a momentum in them that then created ripples from them and then touch other people with them. And it's like, whoa, this works. A couple just examples. Max Flynn, who was touched by something, and now he has a beautiful pink ice taxi where he delivers ice to people who buy ice and then suddenly realize they have to walk it all the way back to camp. He's like, I'll drive it back for you. And he gives tours and rides to people with disabilities, finding whatever way he can to be of service, realizing that gifting is the path for personal joy. Lifting up others, creating joy in others is the way to create joy in yourself. Ripples, 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 ripples. Nick Atkins, who was so struck by love more, fear less, float more, steer less, that he put it in big words on his truck and created this pink socks project where he practices gifting by giving these pink socks to people in medical something, official professional thing, I don't know, something non-Burning Man, some traditional world thing. But in this setting that is not wacky hippies in the desert, he creates a gifting opportunity, creates an educational teaching moment of what gifting is and how it can transform you. And that has created crazy ripples where people all over the world ask him for socks so that they can create their own ripples. Or Cookie, one of my campmates who was so overcome by the joy of gifting that this year brought 11,400 cookies to give away. Not store-bought Oreos, but his own personal recipe that he had been perfecting, this gorgeous, incredible, gooey, yummy, oatmeal, raisin, caramel, vegan cookie that is... cookie is the wrong word. Baked magic. He brought 11,000 of them to give away and to let others give away, giving people boxes. Go give these away. Feel the joy of gifting. We brought a number of these boxes over to Kidsville when I gave my annual gifting talk to the kids of Black Rock City, which is one of my highlights. And because it's so fun to feel the excitement of kids and to hear kids get gifting or talk about gifting. A couple years ago, I gave the talk and I thought, oh, who here has given a great gift? And people go, ah, who's here has gotten a great gift? And what did you get? I got a bracelet. What did you get? I got this medallion. What did you get? This one girl goes, I got a new friend. And so one of the things that I try to do to the kids and try to help them get the difference between the way that their parents go through the world when they have to give money to get stuff versus the way that you act with your friends and the way you share with your friends, because it's more fun to see them happy. And we say, I go, who likes cookies? You know, how many cookies do you think you could eat? 1, 2, 5, 10, 12. But at some point you get so full that more cookies doesn't make you any happier. But it still feels good to give a cookie to a friend. And you can give a cookie to one friend, it feels good. Two cookies, it feels good. You can give cookies to 20 people, it feels good every time. 100 people, you can give cookies to 1,000 people and it will feel good every time. It's scalable. And then I tell the kids, guess what? We've got 1,000 cookies to give away. And they go, wee! And then we go out into the street, they put on these way too big plastic gloves and start handing out cookies to the fellow citizens of Black Rock City. But the big, magic, incredible, am I saying the word magic too much? I need more words that mean, whoa! The most significant thing about Burning Man for me is being a part of Pink Heart. This was our 8th year. And Pink Heart was created with the vision of being what I thought Black Rock City needed. That's how Burning Man works, is people, you see what's missing and then you bring it. It's a duocracy. Like Ian, who does the Movement of Jah People art car, who is so passionate about reggae music and feels like if more people were just exposed to reggae music, the world would be a better place. So what did he do? He created this incredible, massive Movement of Jah People mutant vehicle that plays reggae and invites people to get irie, funky, skank, I don't know what the right words are, but to appreciate the vibe and culture and peace and magic of reggae. But that's just one example. It's always about people find the crack and fill it. Find what's lacking and then add their magic, add their art, add their talents and their purpose to it. And as everyone does that, suddenly what was awesome becomes awesomer, becomes awesomer, becomes awesomer. And Pink Heart was created when I hungered for something that was more like the Pink Ride, more like this thing I do every year, which is about love. It's about being open-hearted and sharing love and being vulnerable and connecting, very much influenced by my grandfather. And so I craved a place where people could come in the wee hours of the night or all day long that was comfortable and lit enough that you could see people's faces, no music so that it was quiet enough that you could have conversations. Too often late at night, it's too tempting to get attracted to the loud music and flashing lights. And so you're in these like rave environments where it's so loud and you can't talk. So I want a place where we could sit on comfortable pink fur couches and talk. And we consider it to be a lighthouse for body, mind, and spirit. It has bright pink colors in the daytime and bright pink beacon at night. So wherever you are on the playa, you can see it and recalibrate and align your physical placing. And we have a 24/7 ice water bar. So we have cucumber water that we serve to fill up your water bottle if you're away from camp or wherever you are, to recalibrate and center your biology. Make sure you're hydrated. This year we gave 4,000 gallons of water away because it was so hot. And then we also are a lighthouse and a recalibrator for spirit. We have the pink fur couches that look out over the Esplanade. We are right on Esplanade, so you can see the majesty. You can see the man and the sculptures and the people in the expanse. And you can sit down and look out over this and anchor and ground and meet a new friend and tell them about your adventures and listen to theirs, or just be in a place of love and peace and safety as the insanity of the world around sometimes gets to be too much. And then we've got a special magic dome filled with pink pillows for people to take naps or cuddle and just sink into this protective womb. And over the 8 years we've been doing it, that protective womb has gained momentum. And all the love and energy that we put into it as campmates accumulates. And people that come visit, their hearts and their love and this place, as we defined it in intention, has become much bigger. Much bigger than any one person, much bigger than any one structure, much bigger than the physical nature of it. It is an energetic vortex. And over, people will say how important it was. Over and over, people will come in and say, I was having a tough time and I knew where I needed to come. Or I happened to stumble upon this and how could I have known that this was what I've been looking for? Over and over, people talk about stories about meeting new best friends or lovers. We give away 4,000 gallons of water, 5,000 coconut milk ice creams, 800 coconut waters, 1,000 water bottles, 1,500 stickers, 800 wood medallions, 500 pins, and then 11,000 cookies. But these were all props. These were all ways that we could practice gifting and demonstrate and show to ourselves and others how much it can impact you, how much it can help you grow, how much joy you can get through the gifting process. But it was the ripples, the unknowable, that became the most significant for me. I had one of the greatest experiences of my life, one of the highlights of my entire life, on Saturday morning when I stumbled into camp and saw that there was a wedding happening in our frontage. Now, we've got this beautiful pink fur heart arch that was created for a wedding years ago, but a lot of people decide to get married there because it's just kind of perfect. And as I walked in on this upon this wedding, some people get married, you know, at Burning Man, and it's very much like a middle of the night drunken, let's get married. But some people, they plan for it, and it's every bit as serious and sacred as something they would schedule at a church or synagogue. And this one that we stumbled upon was serious and silly, but definitely sacred. And this couple, they looked like priest and priestess, gorgeous and white, and their whole wedding parties were in white. And as I started to listen to their ceremony, it was so beautiful, and it was fun, and it was sacred silly, which is how I like to define Pink Heart, in the realm of the profane and sacred silly vibe of Pink Heart. And they were singing and reciting beautiful blessings and meditations, and they had sacred waters from different places that they had shared, and it was beautiful. And as I watched this couple create this new sacred union of love, people that I did not know, and I heard their story, this couple that met 2 years ago in Pink Heart, and they fell in love, and they got maybe a little too physical and frisky on our fur couches and started this unstoppable love story. And last year, he proposed to her in front of Pink Heart. And then this year, they held this sacred, silly, gorgeous wedding ceremony at Pink Heart. And as I watched this, and I heard them with such intention and purity and whimsy and fun call in the energies and the spirits, and I've never witnessed a birth of a child. But as I watched this accumulation of love, this creation of a new love, I felt like I was watching my grandkid being born. I felt like this love momentum that me and all my campmates and all of my family have been putting so much love and heart and work into, had this momentum that had touched these people and created this incredible storybook love story that happened within the warm, safe, loving womb of Pink Heart. So much more than I could have ever hoped for or dreamed of. And such a powerful yes from the universe. Such a powerful affirmation of listening to our heart songs and being present, having integrity, aligning with love, and then trusting. You may not see these magical ceremonies that are the effects of your ripples, but the ripples are having effects on the world. You just have to have faith and trust. I have faith and I trust so much right now. So this year, my journey of Burning Man was so much more than just Burning Man. It was the experience of the eclipse and the cosmic smallness and the creation of meaning that Burning Man is and is symbolic for what human life is. And it was this over and over reminder that love is everything. And when we surrender to love, when we are more open-hearted, when we allow ourselves to be vulnerable, to trust, to be servants to a higher power, wisdom, flow. Unknowable, collective, universal oneness. When we surrender to that, we fall into the flow and joy becomes our reward. And we can feel bliss and still be of service to the world, because as we are allowing our truth to come out, we become the medicine the world needs. We don't make an agenda and a plan and try to manipulate the world to fix it. We heal ourselves, become pure, and allow our truth to come out and know and have trust and have faith that that is the fixing. That is the healing. Our healing is the healing. Our healing is the medicine the world needs. So thank you for your journey of personal exploration, for your path of self-healing, for your courage as you question the roles that you've been taught to play and listen to the heart song that's singing inside you. It is a gorgeous, gorgeous symphony when we all let it out and we can just let ourselves dance. Not with an agenda of how to get anywhere or create anything, it's just to dance. Thank you for dancing with me. I love you. You've been watching the Hug Nation broadcast. Check out links to our YouTube, Facebook, iTunes, or our mailing list on hugnation.com.